Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Fireside Chat. I don't even know what number it is. Do you know what number it is?
320.
Megan's not here today. Jeff is taking Megan's place. 320?
320.
But it was critical. We really rushed the beginning so you could see Mr. Tubbs because we have very little optimism, little faith that he will remain there for any long period of time. But as he gets older, it's the great look. Oh, I love that when his head rests on his paw. Oh, and I told you. See, that was a good example of what is faith. I said we don't have much faith that he'll stay. That's why I call my Bible commentary the Rational Bible, because I'm a big believer in reason, in religion. And I knew rationally he wasn't going to stay there long. Anyway, hi, everybody. And this is about to appear a few days before Christmas. So I want to talk to you about Christmas. I'm sure that I have said a few of these things in past years. How are you? Look at that. He loves his daddy. I'm not sure about that. What he loves is a rub. Is he in the camera? Or is he in the shoot? This is my theory. If you don't find an English bulldog's face worthy of laughter and love, there is something wrong with you. I hate to put it that way. It's like people who don't respond to a laughing baby, it's a bad sign. Is that fair to say? That's what I think about their faces. Okay, young man, you're a good guy. Okay, all's good. Well, what is this? What all of a sudden this is Love Daddy Day? What is he's on the floor? Okay, so I want to talk to you about Christmas, and I emphasize that as it was well known, I am a committed and religious Jew, and Christmas is not my religious holiday by definition, but it. It is a holiday I love. I vastly encourage people to celebrate it. I want to see more Christmas decorations. I want to see more people going to church on Christmas and, for that matter, on any given Sunday. I wrote a piece. I don't know if I talked about it on the Fireside Chat, but I wrote a column which you would find of interest, and it was widely printed, including, of course, at DennisPrager.com, when Americans went to church, Jews were more secure. A lot of Jews, erroneously, as I have always said my whole life, believed that they would be more secure in a less religious America. They made a very big mistake. Turns out, as I've said all of my life, that when America's Christians took their religion seriously, went to church, for example, Jews were actually more secure. That's just a fact. You could say they're not related facts, but they are facts. Anyway, I'm only explaining why this Jew would want to advocate and has all of his life that Christianity be taken seriously in America. The holiday, first of all, for those of you who, even a lot of Americans don't realize this, but certainly those of you watching outside of the United States, and what I'm saying would apply to you too, but obviously I'm speaking from within an American context. It is a national holiday, just like July 4th, American Independence Day, or January 1st, New Year's Day. It is a national holiday. And I am a member of the American nation. So just on that basis alone, I have every reason to take it seriously, including any sociological or even religious reasons that I might do so. You know, I reflect on a fact of American life that not many people may have noted. But in at least within big cities in the United States, such as where I live, Los Angeles, California, there are areas of my city like Santa Monica, California, a rather wealthy place and very liberal place, even left wing. And there, I believe it is fair to say there are more Halloween decorations than Christmas decorations. I believe that that fact is representative of a decline in American society. I don't care about Halloween. I do care, however, that more attention is paid to it than to Christmas in many American homes. Halloween is sort of a spoof. It's a spoof on death, for example, because a lot of hanging skeletons and so on. In and of itself, it's harmless, trick-or-treat, a tradition, kids going around for candy, harmless. But it has none of the elevating aspect that Christmas does. That bothers me. It bothers me that there are whole neighborhoods where you can't see one home with Christmas lights. We're missing something, and a lot of secular people don't realize this. They don't appreciate the role that this holiday has played in the substance of American life. Life isn't just material, but it is since Marx. And vast numbers of well-educated people really do measure virtually all of life by the material. Is there economic equality or inequality is question number one. And of course, the massive preoccupation with global warming, climate change, and the like. It's all material matters. In other words, made out of matter. That's what the word material means here. That's why Marxism is materialism. And the notion that the human is infinitely more than his or her economic state or the issues of climate or any other physical matter, that we are also beings, if I hate to use the word, I don't like the word spiritual, but I'll leave it for the time being. It's sort of ignored. And so American life has become secular, and secular is ultimately great for government and awful for society in every way. It's morally confusing. Only secular people say men give birth. Did you ever notice that? That's pretty important. Only secular people. Not all secular people say it, but only secular people say it. And it's also boring. That's why I have my equation, secularism plus affluence equals boredom. Religion fills your life and poverty fills your life. If you're poor, you don't seek meaning. You have it. Earn money to pay for lunch, to buy lunch and dinner and support a family, hopefully. But when you don't have economic problems and you don't have religious meaning, there's a deep boredom in society. So I am a big fan of this season. It's my favorite 2 weeks of the year, the last 2 weeks of December. There was an article in the Daily Mail, the British newspaper and website, written by a British woman who made a strong case against giving anyone in her life a Christmas gift. Not her husband, and most especially not her two daughters, aged 6 and 3. Not only that, she has told the grandparents and the aunts and uncles, do not give my daughters a gift. And she even acknowledged that her sister said, look, you don't want to give gifts, that's your business. Don't tell me that I can't give a gift to your daughters. But she did anyway. And guess what her reason was? Can you guys guess? To his credit, Alan Estrin guessed it immediately. I didn't think anybody would. But he knows that this is almost always the explanation for a foolish policy. Global warming. You'll destroy the planet when you buy all these gifts. Think about what goes into wrapping paper and how many landfills. She used the word landfill. Do you realize that? I'm not going to buy my daughter's gifts for Christmas because of climate change. The fanaticism involved here is mind-boggling. The whole world of the climate change panickers, the people who are just crazed by the issue, is really an effort to remove joy from human life. You enjoy using your car and going wherever you want, whenever you want? No. We don't want you to use a car because that increases carbon dioxide emission and we're going to all die from that. And it's a war on joy. Oh, you like having a cool home in the summer? Don't you dare. That's too much energy use with your air conditioning. You like to keep it at a particularly warm temperature in the winter? You can't do that either. That's too much. You want to use a gas stove? No way. We're not going to have you do that. You want to eat meat? Oh, no. We want to depopulate the animal population because animal tooting creates methane, which is even worse than carbon dioxide. All joy will be removed in the name of saving the planet. But maybe I don't want to live on a planet where that's joyless. There's a war on joy. She won't give a Christmas gift to her daughters and tells everybody else you can't do it either. I hope every relative of that woman brings those daughters gifts. That's the answer to that. You don't want to give your daughters gifts? Fine. You can't tell me I can't. I'm sorry. And let these daughters grow up. And when they're 25, have the memory of no gifts on Christmas from their parents because their mother was worried about the existential, that's key, existential threat. Not just threat, existential, the existence of planet Earth. In the Netherlands, it's the second largest exporter of food on Earth. The little tiny Netherlands. And the left-wing government decided to get rid of farms in the Netherlands in the name of combating climate change. Like the Netherlands farms are going to have an effect. Meanwhile, there are more coal plants being built in China at a greater rate than ever before in any country. So China's going to win in the battle for energy because they don't care about carbon emissions. They care about prosperity for their people. It's such an upside down world. In that world, you can say men give birth. The state of Minnesota in the United States has just announced that in its public schools, it will be putting menstrual products in all the men's and boys' locker rooms and bathrooms. Yeah, because boys are suffering from toxic masculinity. It's really important to them to think of the possibility that they really might be a girl. It's the upside down nature of everything. Like Hamas is the victim and Israel is the villain. It's a world of the upside down. Yes, it is not a leap, in my opinion, and I've tried to show you how that is so, from no gifts to my daughters on Christmas to rooting for the bad guys against the good guys. It's really perverse. I've made the argument because every year on my radio show, I deal with Christmas has become consumerist. All people think about is buying gifts. But every year I have argued, and I've been doing this for almost 40 years, I have argued that there's something weird, even perverse, about waging war against gift giving. I mean, think about it. It's truly sick. Oh, that's disgusting, all the gifts you give to people. I mean, that the fact that people even have any admiration for that position is gives you an idea of how we got to the point where you could say men menstruate. I mean, people respected the idea. They may not have agreed with it, but they were. It's worthy of no respect, the idea that you shouldn't give gifts on one special day of the year. And by the way, I asked about this this woman. Do you not? Do you give your daughters gifts on their birthdays? I have to believe no. You can't destroy the earth for a birthday, correct? Lucky girls to have such a mother, eh? Of course, I also asked, where was the father? Let me just be clear. If my wife, it wouldn't happen, my wife and I are in sync, thank God, 1,000 times on every major issue and virtually every minor issue. And the only time we differ is when she's driving with me and doesn't think I drive well. But that is built into the female of the human species. So I totally accept that. But if I had a wife who said, I'm telling everybody not to give our daughters gifts, I will say, you can do that. You can say whatever you want, honey. I am going to give the girls gifts. And let your sisters and brothers and parents do what they want. You don't want to give them gifts? You're an individual. But I'm an individual, too. I will give our daughters gifts. That's what a man should answer, okay? With love and respect, but not, yes, darling. That doesn't respect your wife. That means you're intimidated by your wife and you're a weakling. A lot of men have said to me over the years, the secret to a good marriage is to say, yes, dear. I know it's a joke. I mean, it's said with levity, and I respect the levity, and it's a non-issue. I know what they mean, but it's not accurate. Women don't want it either. They don't want a doormat for a husband. They actually want a man. If they wanted a doormat, they would buy a doormat and not get married. So a lot of issues were raised on this whole issue of gift giving. Can it be overdone? Everything can be overdone. There is nothing in the world that can't be perverted. The most noble thing on earth could be screwed up. Of course, that's true. Am I asking you to get Gucci bags for everybody? If I got a Gucci bag, well, I would get a Gucci bag, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I will admit I'm not a big fan of this competition of who could show the most expensive label on their purse or shoes or whatever it might be. But no gift? Anyway, I do wish you a Merry Christmas. And I don't say happy holidays. I say Merry Christmas because that's what we're talking about. And when I was a kid, there was Christmas vacation in schools, not winter vacation. There were Christmas parties at businesses, not holiday parties. And if you feel excluded because you don't celebrate Christmas, there's something wrong with you. This Jew was a Santa Claus for the Simi Valley, California Rotary Club when I was in my 20s. And I was living in the small, then small, not now small, city called Simi Valley, California. They said, Dennis, would you like to be a Santa? I said, of course, I'll happily do that. Why wouldn't I? It's a very sick thing. You feel excluded. Because you're not a Christian, you feel excluded? I'm not a Christian. Why do I feel excluded? What Christian is excluding me from the Christmas party? It's a bizarre notion. Are non-Jews in Israel excluded because they say on the radio Shabbat Shalom every Friday night and Saturday? A good Sabbath, or Sabbath peace, literally? It's not the Sabbath for the non-Jew. Should they feel excluded? So do you not say Shabbat Shalom? Does an Israeli Jew not say Shabbat Shalom to an Israeli Arab or an Israeli Christian? Well, Arabs could be Christians, but you get my point. That's my message. And that's why I'm happily say Merry Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, help your neighbor do it. It's a day I know my brother is a physician and obviously Jewish, like as I am. And the Jewish doctors made sure to give all the non-Jewish doctors off on Christmas. They took their rounds at the hospital. That's a good thing to do. You know, everything we put out at PragerU is free. And the only way we can do that is through people's donating. And the only way we stay in business is through people donating and have an influence on a lost world or an increasingly lost world. So I just want you to know that any donation you make between now and Christmas will be tripled. Donors have come up with that. You give whatever you give, three times that amount you're giving because of the donors. If it's $50, it's $150. If it's $1,000, it's $3,000. If it's $1 million, it's $3 million. We're not expecting you to give $1 million. If you can, that'd be great. But you know what? We appreciate $20 gifts a lot. It means a lot to us when we can say, you know how many people donate to PragerU? So please go to the website and make a donation by Christmas. Thank you. Okay, let's see our video question.
You know, you mentioned you were Santa in your 20s. Was it around this era?
Yeah. No, that was much younger than when I did. I would say that was 8 to 10 years later. This was. You want me to show this? Okay, so this was in early college, I think. Yeah. Okay, so they're establishing at PragerU a Dennis Prager library, like their presidential libraries. I'm only giving you an example. I don't consider it a presidential library. So they've asked for memorabilia and old-time pictures. So here's one they really liked. Here I am. I believe this is freshman year college. So I would have been 19 and smoking my pipe. I still smoke a pipe and a cigar. And I can't believe how good I look. Even it shows you the power of lighting. But anyway, they thought you would get a kick out of it. Here I am. Hi there. All right, good. Time for your video question. Here we go.
Hey, Dennis, this is Ben from Wisconsin. And my question is, how many squirrels do you think you could fight off before they start to overtake you? Like you're in a flat field and there are a bunch of squirrels that are dead set on like taking you down. How many could you fight off before they tackle you to the ground?
Is there something about Wisconsin that affects the brain?
Did you say squirrels or girls?
Yes, that's very funny. He said squirrels, not girls. This is the sort of thing that I would answer with a question. What exactly prompted you to come up with that? I mean, how many people think about that? How many squirrels can one individual fight off? So that's really my only answer is, how did you come up with that? But I took it anyway. You know, we're game for just about anything. But the joke is, we did discuss it beforehand. You thought 100, and I thought, no.
I think you
way below 100. I mean, if 50 squirrels attacked you. It's very funny because my brother lives in New Jersey and has a nice plot of land there. And squirrels drive him nuts. Apparently, squirrels can, you know, damage your garden and all this and clog up your chimney. So he loves animals, but he actually blew them up finally. they were in the chimney, and he just blew them up. I don't know what he threw in there. I want to emphasize he loves animals. It gives you an idea of how much the squirrels drove him crazy by the end. Okay, we move on. Joseph T. Now, should it be Joseph or Yosef? But he, it's, it, no, 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 no. It's from Croatia. Oh. So anyway, hi, Joseph T. Or Joseph T., whichever, I guess, Joseph. That's what it says. 24 years old, Croatia. Dennis, do you believe that assisted suicide can be morally justifiable, especially when a person is suffering and there is no hope for improvement? Yes, I do believe that it can be morally justifiable, but that's not the same as legal. I don't think it should be legal, but I do believe that it can be moral. An answer that probably satisfies very few people, but I've thought this through a great deal. The father of my two stepsons, whom I was very friendly with, killed himself. I wrote an article about this a few years ago when he did. He had a terrible accident where his ladder gave way and he fell from the top of the ladder right onto the steps of the ladder. So they went right into his body. And he was in excruciating pain, and they would not give him painkillers because doctors are so monitored for giving opioids, which is cruel. The amount of cruelty in the medical profession has shocked me. That's one example. Another is that they didn't allow people dying of COVID to have a relative next to them in the hospital. They had to die alone. Those are two examples of sheer cruelty in the medical profession, which had a sobering effect on me. So, in other words, better for people to suffer endlessly than to give opioids too easily. But I rather have people opioid addicted than have people suffer excruciating pain with no relief. If those are my two choices, then I know which is the worst choice. Excruciating pain. That's the worst choice. And at his memorial service, I spoke. And nobody who spoke mentioned that he had committed suicide. It was like the unmentionable. And I always believe if there's an elephant in the room, you have to take notice of it. And I said, you know what? Not only did what Bruce did, did what Bruce do not meet the criterion of wrong, I would have done the same thing in his circumstance. My wife and I got so many, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. It was such a relief. As a general rule, of course I'm against suicide. That's the general rule. But there were times. So if somebody assists somebody in those circumstances, excruciating pain with no relief possible, none possible, does God want us just to suffer? At least not the God that I believe in. And I'm not being cute. And I understand others will say, no, you know, you can't take a life no matter what. Well, you could take... What about your own life? And you're not supposed to be able. That's why I say I don't want it legal. Because if it's legal, it'll get abused. I'll give you an example. The moral legal distinction is as important as my liberal left distinction. Distinctions are very important in life. Moral and legal are not the same thing. When I gave my video for PragerU on abortion, I said at the outset, I'm not talking about legality in this video, only morality. Whether it should be legal and when it should be legal, that is a separate question from let's at least be clear about the morality of abortion. The vast majority of abortions are not moral. Now, that doesn't mean, therefore, that I think that they should be illegal. Or at what from what age they should be illegal. From the third trimester, second trimester, first trimester. Those are other issues. Morality is not the same as legality. And sometimes assisted suicide is moral. That's my answer. But once society says it should be legal, then it's going to be a slippery slope till anybody who's depressed can just go to a clinic and get killed. What's our timing?
That's it.
Wow. That means my Christmas talk was long. So before I say goodbye for today, I'm a little self-conscious, but not too much to do it, because nobody writes Bible commentaries to make a fortune, especially not on Deuteronomy, Numbers, or Leviticus, maybe Genesis and Exodus. But I want you to know this is a beautiful gift for Christmas for anyone. Read the reviews of the three volumes that are out. It's beautifully printed, as you could perhaps see. They're beautifully done. These are my commentaries. I know biblical Hebrew very well. I've been teaching this all of my life. There's no doubt in my mind, in the best sense, it will change your life. It is meant to. That's why I call it the Rational Bible. I don't care what your faith. I don't care if you're an atheist. This is powerful stuff and a great gift. So three of the five volumes of the first five are out. Next year, Numbers, the following year, Leviticus, but here they are. And if you have a Genesis and Exodus, please get Deuteronomy. It is as important as the others. It's the most widely quoted text by the founders of the United States, more than any other religious or secular text. So here they are, the Rational Bible. Thank you. And with that, I wish you, again, a Merry Christmas, and I'll wish you a Happy New Year next week. Until then, Dennis Prager thanking you for listening and watching. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.